You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jones, Bowden. He's got it. England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. Now look back at the fourth test, the LV Insurance first day of the fourth test here at the Oval. Big clear-up going on behind us. It's been a full house here at the Oval today, and the cleaners are now getting ready for tomorrow, of course. Full day's play today, and 13 wickets fell. I think it's the most wickets that have fallen on the first day of an Oval test match since 1926. There's a stat for you. England, I suppose, would consider themselves, Simon, just about in the advantage. 53 for 3, having bowled India out for 191. How do you see it?
Well, the Joe Root wicket before the close of play has given India a massive lift, I would say. It's the first time they've got rid of him really cheaply during this series. They snuffed out his innings reasonably early on at Lord's in the second innings. Of course, they went on to win the game. So it's a huge lift for India to get rid of the man that scored 300s in the series. I think India are back in the match. I mean, so much depends on that first session tomorrow. If India can get two more quick wickets, then what an opportunity they've got, even though they've only got 191 on the board. I think on balance, I prefer to be in England's position. I spoke to Shardul Thakur at the end of play today, and he said there's something there for everyone, for batters and bowlers. So it's up to someone tomorrow from one of these two sides to sort of really stamp their imprint on the match, whether it be a batter or a bowler.
Shardul Thakur, the Indian Ian Botham. Don't they know him? They call him Beefy, don't they, actually? And what a sort of rumbustuous innings. That was a swashbuckling innings of 50-odd, which really transformed India's innings. OK, so you think that England have got a slight advantage. Well, let's have a look at the who's winning graphic and see if that agrees. So today, that is telling us that England are actually 70% or so winning chance. India about 25%, and the draw pretty low, about 5%. So it generally suggests that India are very much in second place in the day so far. 191, you sort of feel with the night watchman there, if he can kind of stay in for a while, then that should mean that you can sort of see off the hardness of the ball, and that the England middle order should be able to capitalise. And I think a par score on that pitch is about 275, 280. It didn't really do that much. It did a little bit early on. There was a bit of extra bounce, actually, more than anything. Of course, the Indians batsmen do look susceptible to that tall bowling, particularly. Apologise for the PA if you can hear that in the background. It's still pretty noisy here at the Oval. I think England, what they've done is they've found a formula which perhaps, in a way, the New Zealanders also found in that World Test Championship final, tall bowlers. I did a little stat actually during that test match, looking at the average height of bounce in different countries when the ball's on a length. And in India, the ball bounces a certain height. In New Zealand, a little bit higher. And in England, the highest of the lot. That's why Indian batsmen struggle with the ball just a little bit of extra bounce. And when you've got those tall bowlers like Craig Overton and also Ollie Robinson, getting that little bit of extra lift, it makes it doubly uncomfortable for Indian batsmen. We did a stat during that final down at the Aegis Bowl, which said that both Virat Kohli and Chhateshwar Pujara average about 20 runs less per innings when they're facing tall bowlers. I know you can't judge everything by stats, but I think that's something that England in particular have sort of focused on, perhaps partly by accident, because Robinson wasn't, you know, definitely a shoe-in for this series, and certainly Overton wasn't. But those two bowlers in particular, and a little bit Chris Wokes in this game today, just got that bit of extra bounce and they don't like it.
There was something relentless about England's bowling as well today. And we talked earlier in the series about having that variation. You know, remember Mark Wood played and Sam Curran played. Wood with the extra pace and Curran with the left arm. But actually, I think you look at some of the pitches that in this series has been played on. If you have four right-arm seamers just hammering away the whole time, that actually works for England in these conditions. There was a little bit in the pitch. People who went out and saw the pitch this morning said it was a little bit damp, which just seems odd when you consider the fact that it's been very dry in London for, you know, 2.5 weeks. It hasn't rained in London for 2.5 weeks. And actually, around the pitch as well was very damp. It's, you know, a lot of water seems to have been put on the surface. Whether that was to negate the possibility of Ashwin playing and sort of keep him out of the match, that worry that, you know, he, on a dry surface he could just cause havoc, I don't know. In the same way that, you know, you go to India and, you know, that Chennai second pitch was extremely dry at the start and the ball's going through the top, you know, whether England actually in the end, after saying, you know, this summer we want to play on, you know, good pitches, you know, dry pitches that start dry and then deteriorate, because that's the best preparation for Australia, and as if they got here and thought, well, actually the series is right in the balance, it's 1-1. We don't want a dusty turning pitch. You know, we want to keep Ashwin out of the series. I mean, there was sort of, it felt like a bit of an element of that, really, because the conditions here today weren't really the conditions that we've had in London for the last, you know, 2-3 weeks, something like that. I mean, it's barely rained since the Lords Test match.
Although it hasn't been very sunny either, so that sort of hardness you're trying to get into a test pitch hasn't been easy to achieve. It was an interesting decision, wasn't it, Root, to field first? I mean, it did look a little bit greener than some oval pitches, but the stats say since 91 that 14 teams have won the test match batting first and only 10 have won it batting second. So, you know, in a way, Root wasn't particularly influenced by the statistics. Sort of, I suppose, they're in roughly in a balance, but more teams have won the test match here batting first. It does tend to kind of not get that much worse, this pitch. So I suppose he thought overhead conditions, Indian batsmen looking a bit susceptible to the moving ball, England's bowlers on a bit of a roll, maybe give them first go. Actually, it didn't work with the current bowlers. It was Chris Wokes who made the early intrusions, really.
Yeah, Wokes was superb. I thought he sort of dragged England forward after quite a flat first half an hour or so. India got away, 28 for no wicket after 7 overs, and thinking, hold on a second, was this the right decision to bowl first? Actually, Chris Wokes afterwards said it was as much the overhead conditions that convinced England to bowl first as the pitch itself, which was a little bit tacky. So overhead conditions combination and the prospect of better weather during the game as well as the game goes on, it's perhaps some sunshine tomorrow, you feel, well, second day, third day going to be the ones that are going to be better for batting on. Let's take any advantage there might be here on the first day. But you're right. I mean, the Oval, normally you turn up at the Oval and you bat first, don't you? That's generally what happens. Australia put England in here 2 years ago, lost the Test match. I remember Glenn McGrath going, you know, what on earth have they done? Why have they put England in? You know, it's the wrong decision. Toughers, is, you know, he's played a lot of cricket here as well, saying, you know, at the Oval, mate, you know, you always bat first at the Oval. But, you know, not today. Kohli said he would have batted, say he would have bowled first. Joe Root did bowl first. And, you know, you can't argue with 191 all out. I don't think you can you? 127 for 7.
For 7.
Yeah, exactly, at one stage. And then Tucker, changed the... Well, he had changed the course of the day, hasn't he? 127 for 7, India looked out of it, but 191 and 53 for 3. I agree, England are favourites, and your graphic says actually, you know, more decisively favourites perhaps than I would give them at the moment, although you'd rather be in their position. But what he has done is he has given India some hope in this match. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, actually, that graphic, the Who's Winning graphic, has been a little bit flawed during this series. I mean, I based it on the betting stats, you know, the various betting agencies and what they come up with, and their, you know, general kind of analysts are pretty good at the history and using the stats and looking at the scenarios, but it hasn't necessarily proved reliable. I'm glad I haven't been betting on this series, and I'm sure you are as well. And I'm certainly not going to be betting on this test match, but, you know, both sides' batsmen do look a bit fallible, and it's just which bowlers get on a roll. Wokes probably more than anyone did today. It'll be depending on which of the Indian bowlers finds the right spots in the morning, and can one of the England batsmen, you know, play get a big score. The latest Fund for Runs-backed initiative being profiled today is Buckinghamshire Faith Associates CC. LV Insurance and the ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs campaign has awarded the club with a grant to host training sessions in mosques across 5 cities in the country. The Buckinghamshire-based club is working on introducing All-Stars cricket, Dynamos cricket, and also hosts a women's softball cricket league, which they believe can provide individuals with a pathway to coaching and development training programmes. The club has identified institutions that have been advocating diversity, and they plan to arrange for urban hubs which promote cricket activities.
So India making 191 all out today, and there were 2 half centuries. We've talked about Shardul Thakur, who chanced his arm and it really came off with him, the fastest test 50 at the Oval, beating Ian Botham, who had set the previous mark. He got to his 50 in 31 balls with 6 fours and 3 sixes. He had a bit of luck, but he also hit the ball so cleanly. Another half century early in the day, very different half century from Virat Kohli, who played several fine strokes. He actually picked out the fielder with 2 of his best shots through the offside, and rasping cover drives, picked out the fielder at extra cover, but he also found the boundary as well. Got to 50 and then was dismissed again by Ollie Robinson. Kohli good today, but I think in these conditions, against this England bowling attack early September, you're never quite in. As Rohit Sharma said it, you're never quite in England. And I had that sense with Kohli today. He was dropped, of course, on 22 by Root away to his right at first slip. A strange one, actually, because when you look at it afterwards, you thought, well, was that a second slip catch for Rory Burns? It seemed closer to Burns, but it seemed to sort of swing away from Root. It was a really odd one. I've not seen the ball do that before. It seemed to swing away from him, and he kept going, and he put it down anyway. So, and Kohli played and missed, but he also played some nice shots. You know, so battling away. You know, an innings actually of quite high skill, because wickets were falling around him, but still not able to turn it into the really big score that India were looking for.
No, and I think that this happens to batsmen. You know, I think coming to England, the top batsmen, or, you know, some of the better batsmen, can get a bit neurotic by playing in England, because if they do start a series badly and they get out a few times on seaming pitches or with the ball swinging around, they start examining their technique, looking at the foot movements, looking at the bat swing, looking at head positions, and, you know, maybe their trigger movements have changed and all that. It's probably nothing to do with that at all. It's just that you get balls in England that are difficult to play. They move late. Bowlers get on top of you through, you know, persistence and help from the pitch and help from overhead, and you actually, batsmen almost are their own enemies in the end, their worst enemies, because they start fiddling around with their technique rather than just saying, look, sometimes I'm just going to get a good ball here, it swung a bit, I went for the drive, another day I'd hit it in the middle as Kohli did a few times today, and some days you nick it. And actually, they can make it worse by then going into their sort of little analytical shell and saying, oh, do I need to change this? Do I need to change that? Kohli has done a bit of that, and he started sort of a bit of soul searching. I think you can almost see it and see a bit of introspection going on in his head, and like exasperation, and am I doing it right? And therefore, your natural flow and rhythm is disrupted. and you know, you miss out on balls you should be putting away, and then one good ball comes along and your wicket's gone again. I think Robinson's got a bit of a hold over him, and as I said before, there is that thing about the ball bouncing a bit extra from these England bowlers in England, which does discomfort the best Indian players, Robinson being the probably the prime example in this series. He's the sort of bowler that you just don't want to face. You know, I know when Angus Fraser and I played together for many years for Middlesex, and people have compared Robinson a little bit to Angus Fraser. High action, nagging line and length, gets that ball to nip back into your thigh all the time. You don't want to face those bowlers in the nets, and you probably don't want to face them much in the middle either, because they just don't let you get away. And Robinson's got Kohli, you know, a number of times now. It's a tough time for a batsman. Kohli's probably wishing he could just get home to Mumbai and see the sunny skies and those flat, dry pitches of India, because there's no sort of escape here at the moment. It was a workmanlike 50, but it's pretty much his best score of the series. He just never has quite got going.
Yeah, it was a strange dismissal as well, because I think the ball was just slightly angling back in from Robinson, and Kohli was trying to turn it away into the onside, and it just feathered the outside edge. It wasn't as though it pitched on, left him, and he nicked it through. It was a peculiar dismissal. Anyway, gone for 50. India 105 for 5. I mean, Rahane struggling. I felt with Rahane today, any self-respecting middle-order player doesn't want to drop down a place. India rejigging their batting order today, pushing Jadeja up to 5. I thought that was curious because, this is a guy who has done most of his test match batting at 7 or 8, and then is asked to come in quite difficult conditions and suddenly bat at 5. And, it was a real test for him. I think he struggled, and so he went for 10. And Rahane, he can't get a run at the moment, can he? He's it's not been a great series for him. Out for 14, low catch to Moeen Ali, 117 for 6. And then the transformation brought about by Shardul Thakur, who eventually was dismissed LBW by Chris Wokes, who had a really encouraging return. It's been such a strange year for Chris Wokes. He's got this England Red Bull contract, but he's barely played for one reason or another. To some extent, it's been out of his control.
He hasn't played. He hasn't played a test match at all, has he? It was August last year that he played his last test match against Pakistan at the Aegeus Bowl. And it must be so frustrating. Sri Lanka, he didn't play because he was Moeen Ali's passenger and he had to isolate. And then he didn't get picked in India because he hadn't had much cricket or any cricket. And he was sort of a bit of a 12th man, travelling 12th man for a month and a half. Then he's come back to England, got injured, so he didn't play against New Zealand. And sort of waiting till now to get... the only first-class cricket he's played, I say first-class, long-form cricket, he's played was Warwickshire's second 11 game about a week ago. So, poor guy, it must have been so frustrating. And actually, when I saw him take that first wicket, he bowled an excellent first over to Rohit Sharma, and he got the wicket off the last ball. And I've never seen Chris Wokes so expressive as after that wicket, punching the air, high fives, jumping up and down, grin all over his face, really, really expressive, which said to me, A, obviously, delight at getting the wicket, but just like huge amount of frustration being expelled there. A whole 12 months of being sat in the dressing room, desperate to get out there. Well, he played a few one-dayers, I know, but that's not the same as playing in a test match after last year being England's Player of the Year.
Yeah, and he said afterwards, I spoke to him for BBC, and he was saying that, that's how I like to get players out, in an ideal world. So I think he really enjoyed the Rohit Sharma wicket. But you're right, a wicket back in Test cricket after quite a flat first half an hour, as we mentioned, for England. I also said to him, did you feel, ready to play after such, limited preparation? And he said, well, I actually felt a bit nervous about it. I didn't quite know how it was going to go. I didn't, was there enough preparation in my body? So there was a sort of element of nerves there. So I suppose as well, there was that feeling of a relief and release that, I can still do it, big crowd in, and I can get a player of Rohit Sharma's class out with an absolute beauty. And it was a beauty to get rid of him. It would have got, it would have got a lot of players out. Actually, some of them would have missed it altogether. Some of them would have gone past the outside edge. It really was a fine delivery. It just seemed to lift England, that it was the lift they needed. And then we had that curious passage of play where then you didn't score a run for about 40 odd balls, and then Rahul was out, and suddenly the game had changed. 28 for no wicket became 28 for 2. So Chris Wokes today, back in the side, he bowled 15 overs. He said afterwards, you know, after waiting to see how my body feels tomorrow morning, I thought he'd be a little bit stiff after not playing very much. He gets our LV Insurance In With Heart Award today for that, you know, that perseverance, really, for a year of not playing and then coming in and performing today on the big stage.
Yeah, absolutely, and just sticking at it and believing in himself and doing what he says on the tin as well. When he came into bowl, he produced the stuff that we expect Chris Wokes to produce: back of the length, nagging line and length, persistently at the batsman. Got a bit of clonk from Sharda Thacker towards the end, but you know, was there and thereabouts. Had the sense not to try bouncers or yorkers or anything. Stuck to his basics and trapped him in the end, LBW, and got his 4 wickets. So, you know, well done to him. He was the main architect, really, of India getting 191 all out. Now it's down to England to capitalise on that. But I don't think it'll be that easy, do you?
Yeah, well, a couple of early wickets in the morning. Got a night watchman in, Overton, and then Ollie Pope has just come back into the test side. You know, we talk about Chris Wokes not having any cricket. Pope hasn't had much cricket either. His last two innings have been in 50-over matches. He's made 0-1. So, that, you know, there's that element of it to it as well. And the other side of it is, if Overton can stick around with Milan tomorrow, and it wears India down a bit and lifts England's confidence, and Pope comes out and averages 100 on the oval again, which is what he's done so far in his career. Before we go, Yoz, I must ask you, though, one wicket that Chris Wokes took today was that of Rishabh Pant, who was out sort of, what would you call it, sort of trying to smack him over the top, hold out to long off. Discuss the shot. We've seen it before. It's not really, he's found it difficult in this series.
I think it's to do with the bounce. You know, he got away with that kind of method, didn't he, in India, challenging the new ball because it doesn't bounce much. You've got to try and find a different way here. You can't take that sort of risk playing the way he's done. And he's been found out several times now, sort of charging the seam bowlers. Not many people have ever done that and been successful. So I think it's flawed thinking more than anything. I think he's better than that as well. I think he's almost trying to play up to his reputation now. We've seen him play, like in Australia, play much more resourceful innings where he stays in and just gets the sense of the bat. I think he's lost a bit of confidence, actually, and almost sort of thinks, well, I'll try and hit myself my way out of trouble. These bowlers are too good. So, you know, back to the drawing board, back to the thinking ball for Rishabh Pant. Being very disappointing. He hasn't got a great record in England. He's got to play another way.
Yeah, he did get 100 at the back end of the last tour here, which is a huge lift for him. So he's got the memory of that. But previous to that, it wasn't so good for him. And this tour has been quite chastening for him. But there's still time to turn it around. It's another fascinating game. We said at the end of the last test match we wouldn't predict what's going to happen as the series goes on, because it's become a bit of a fool's game. And I perhaps you feel like that about how the rest of this game will go. England are three down. They've lost three big wickets. Joe Root is one of them. India are back in the game. If they can bowl England out reasonably cheaply, they've got the chance to build a reasonable second innings score and perhaps put some pressure on England in the fourth innings of the match. England, of course, will be hoping for something of a lead. I don't know, 80, possibly even more.
I think they might be very pleased to have a certain Chris Wokes at number 8. Actually, it was the number 8 who changed the Indian innings. It could be the number 8 that changes the England innings. Chris Wokes with 10 first class hundreds, a batting test average of nearly 29. Maybe it'll be his match. What a comeback that would be if he became man of the match as well and saw England to a 2-1 lead in the series. Long way to go before that. And of course, we'll be back to review the second day's play at this time tomorrow. So look forward to seeing you then.
Podcast Network.